Hello, everybody. Jim Malone here, coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It is Wednesday. Boy, the market pulled back hard today. I definitely was left with some stocks that moved lower. I did short towards the mid part of the day. I did short Microsoft, which did announce that they're going to be laying off about 10,000 people. It also looks like Goldman Sachs may be kind of on the block too. They're going to look like they're going to have a pretty big layoff situation as well. So, the good news keeps on coming, as they say. This is pretty obvious, but I think it bears noting that the International Energy Agency expects the demand for oil to move up rapidly, because it does look like China is coming out of a lockdown. And of course, as they come out of the lockdown, there will be more demand for oil. And right now, even though, you know, the prices have been down for a while, we are starting to see the price of oil move a little bit. I want to show you some charts so you can kind of get a look-see at that, because I do think that in the near future we may see oil move up. It's true, they're looking for alternatives to oil in terms of payments, in terms of dollars to payments, but still the dominant payment mechanism is U.S. dollars. So that still is a big part of it. So. Let's take a look at some of the other things I kind of put on these slides. This is a chart. I put out a little video on this morning, and this is basically a chart on the price of oil. It basically peaked around, about mid June of last year, and then it made its descent. And basically it bottomed out really, really about the beginning of September at about 76.25. And it's been moving up. It's kind of made some fits and starts, but I definitely think, you know, it's going to be moving higher. I definitely think it has found support at the 50-day line and is moving higher. Currently, the oil price is $88.37. Now, I do think that we're likely to see it move higher. Now, of course, you know, timing is everything. That's in soccer day. Timing is everything. And, I might have gotten my timing off here a little bit today, because if you look at the stocks that I'm holding long, a lot of them are off today. I mean, I've got about three positions in ExxonMobil, and my average price is about 113. It's at 110 now. So it's down significantly on lower volume, but it's down. Now, interestingly enough, one of my holdings is Schlumberger SLB. That one was down, but not as much down, but up in volume. Fluor, which is also a large scale contracting company, you know, in the oil space, that one was up. So interestingly enough, and I did buy Lattice Semiconductor on Tuesday. I bought LSCC. It was up significantly, actually. Unfortunately, the volume was down on this one, so really a mixed bag today. I did short Microsoft, and basically it came up to the 50-week, the 40-week moving average, and then it was rejected there. I do expect it to fall further, mainly due to the fact that it's just weak demand on the stock. So I do kind of expect that one to move lower. I do have stock of the day for you, just real quick. You might want to put this on your watch list. I don't know this one, but I think it's worth noting. It's Vertex Pharma, and it is looking pretty darn good. It's in the top 1% of all stocks out there. At the price of $307. Now, it was off a little bit today. Even that was off a little bit today, 1.37%. So even the strongest stocks were off today. Just a tough day to trade all the way around, and kind of in a trend there. But definitely tough day to trade all the way around. So just a kind of a tough day to trade. All right, so let's take a look at some of the questions, and here we go. All right, well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for taking a look today. Let's look at SDS for Matt and see if I've got that there. SDS, and okay, this is the ProShares Ultra Short. This is probably a good option in this kind of a market where we have, where we basically have everything pulling back like this. So this one might, this one might work pretty well. So let's take a look at the Ultra Short. There we go. Okay, so basically what we've got going on here is that we're still below that 50-day moving average. So I don't really like to buy below this 50-day, below the 200-day moving average, as you well know. This had, this is something I'm just talking about the technicals here, but this did indicate a interesting thing. This is called a cross here, where the 50-day moves below the 200-day. This shows weakness, and as you can see, it's come down, and now it's rallying back up to the 50-day moving average. Let's see how far away from the 50-day it is in terms of the technicals here. It's almost right on the 50. It's just below it, almost less than a percent below the 50-day moving average at 44.27. So could you short it here? Well, interestingly, what this is telling me on this one, believe it or not, is this is the ultra short. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't buy this here, but this might be turning up, but it doesn't look like that on the chart. It looks like we're going to go sideways. So I would be very cautious in buying this. I know that it did move up today, but I would be very cautious of buying this one right now, because this is showing me, this chart, that we still haven't come, we still haven't moved above that reversal line. I drew the reversal line there. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to put an alert on it. What that is, that shows we're still in the downward trend. As you can see, we're still in the downward trend, and it needs to pull above that trend in order to really buy it. So I would be careful. I'd watch this one. I wouldn't buy this one until we moved above about 45.20. That's kind of where I would be buying it. Now, I will show you a stock that I shorted today. And of course, that is Microsoft. Of course, everyone's heard of that. Part of the reason I did short it, it wasn't a perfect short by any stretch of the imagination. Microsoft, pull that up there. And I'll show you where I did short it. Okay. So here we go. This is the chart for Microsoft here, and where I did short this one was right as it came up, basically it came back up to the 50-day line. That's sort of where I did short. Now it's gonna report in just 6 days, so who knows what's gonna go on there. It's off a little bit after hours. I do expect there's gonna be a sell-off into earnings here. I do expect it's going to be sell-off into earnings. I'll probably close this before earnings, but I do think that hopefully we get a few days of downward motion. Now, this has been an outperformer for forever, but as you can see, the sales increases are moving lower, and the profits are not increasing as much as they did. If we look at the fundamentals here, they are expecting a increase of 16%. In terms of the profitability, but that's down significantly from where they were last year. So, the price to earnings ratio is still very good at 26. But remember, we're starting to see competition from other, what I consider kind of blue chip stocks. This is a big cap tech. I want to compare this stock with Exxon. Not that Exxon is so great, but it's to show you kind of what's going on with that. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put up the comparison chart with ExxonMobil. This kind of compares two different sectors of the economy, the kind of leading stocks in two of the different sectors. So I'm gonna go over here and share the screen here for that comparison. If you can see that, yeah, there you go. Okay, great. And there we are. So here basically is what's going on in terms of in terms of the comparison between the two. Now I'm just going to show you the last, basically the last 3 months. And that way it gives you a little bit better kind of, you know, if you bought this, you know, basically 3 months ago, what was happening. So you can see, you know, even though Microsoft is one of the strongest of the tech stocks, it's on a downward trend. You would have been down, you know, not that much. You would have been down about, you know, 10 cents if you'd invested a dollar here. But what's significant is that you would have been up 20 cents if you had invested in Exxon. So I still see the trend. I still see the converging trend here between sort of the oil stocks, the large oil stocks, and Microsoft. So this is kind of Microsoft representing really the NASDAQ stocks and ExxonMobil representing kind of the oil stocks that are in the S&P. So that kind of gives you an idea. This is one of the reasons why I do expect Microsoft to move lower, and I do expect Exxon to move higher. Now, whether or not that will translate into anything, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen there, but you know that's kind of the deal. All right, so let's take a look at some of the oil price on the rise. Let's take a look at the price of oil, because I think that that's going to be key in anything, any kind of. We have to kind of put that into our calculus on kind of where we're going to go from here. We kind of have had this pause in the oil price, but I do think we are likely possibly to see a rise in the price of crude. I'm going to move over here to the kind of the monthly crude chart. So it kind of gives you really a 250,000 foot view of, you know, of it. So let's bring up that crude price. There we go. So here's the price of crude. This is the monthly chart for the price of crude. Let's go back to the weekly chart because it's a little bit easier to see what I'm really talking about. Basically, we had our low in the price of crude at, believe it or not, $10, and that was back basically in March of 2020. This is when we actually, for that one day, we actually had a negative price in the crude oil. But really what that was that all of the depots, all of the receiving depots in Cushing, Oklahoma, were full, so they had nowhere room. They weren't buying any more oil. So that's when this dived down here to 10. And then, as you can see, it's been, since that time, it's been moving steadily up. Now, it did hit its peak at about $123, and that happened really basically, you know, right about in June of this last year, about June 22. It's been on a downward trend since, and then, as you can see, it moved up, touched the 50-day line, and it's moving down. And then, but I do believe we are going to see it moving up once again. Hopefully I'm right about this, but it does look like it's moved above the 10-week line, and that would show that. So let's look at the daily chart, and this is a little bit more busy because, of course, it's a commodity, so it tends to fluctuate a lot. As you can see, we're still in that downward trend. This right here, this was the time really to get out of oil, believe it or not, September. You can see when that 50-day moved below the 200-day, that shows sort of the crossover, the trend, and then it's been down ever since. Now, the question is it turning up? Well, I believe it's turning up, but you can't be sure here, but that's kind of what it's showing. Let's look at the stochastics on this. What this shows, yeah, as you can see, this is the oversold position, it's the overbought position, and it does appear to be heading higher. Now, today, of course, was an anomaly. Well, it wasn't an anomaly. It was a down day. And so it did shave off a lot. But it does appear that the price of crude is inching higher. So, you know, kind of the thing that, you know, we want to watch. That's one of the reasons why, even though, you know, I got a haircut on it today, I'm sort of concentrating my investments in the large integrated oils, the oil service companies. That's why I have Schlumberger, SLB, and also in some of the big construction companies that deal in oil projects like pipelines. That's Fluor. It's one of the reasons I have it. So that's one of the reasons for it. All right, Noah, thank you very much. Noah, APA, let's look at that real quick. APA, And there we go. I'm going to take off this guest exists for a second because it kind of busies the chart up there a little bit. There we go. Okay, so nice chart, actually. Very nice chart. Moving pretty nicely. So here we go with the chart. We've basically been flat. I mean, obviously, it made its high there at 51. We're currently at 44. We bounced. It seems like it's holding above that 200-day line. That's a good sign. The rolling strength is pretty good, 87. Anything over 80, I'm interested in. It does look like it's gotten some resistance at the 50-day line. Let's see what the checklist says to see kind of if it's viable at this level. Checklist is very good, 78%. That's looking very good on the technicals, and we're very, very close to the 21-day line. If you didn't want to start a position in this one, you definitely could. I probably would wait, though. Let's take a look and see if the pattern recognition says here. I want to see if I can get an idea on the pattern rec. It's basically a consolidation, and the pivot is at 50.58, so we're well below that. I mean, we're 13% below that. So the question is it in an upward or a downward trend? And it doesn't look to me like it's in an upward trend. It looks to me like this is in a downward trend. If we look at this, we put the trend line on it, and then we create an alert on it. There we go. So what this is showing from the top here, this is showing that we're still in a downward trend on this. So even though we moved up, we've gotten some resistance. So I would wait until we can move above this trend line. We can close above this trend line. I would be looking, possibly to get into it only if it moves above about 48.90. So we've got a ways to go. This is trending lower. So I would skip this one for now. I would be careful because it's in a downward trend, and you really typically don't want to buy a stock in a downward trend. You don't want to buy extended either. We wouldn't be extended because we're very close to that 21-day line, but we definitely are in the downward trend. So, all right. Hey, thanks, Mama. Appreciate that very much. All right. Let's look at PBY. PBY. PBR, maybe. Did you mean PBR? Probably. This is Petrobras. This is the Brazilian National Oil Company. And of course, the situation we have with PBYI, excuse me. Let me just put that in there right. PBYI. Okay, Puma Tech. Okay, this is not a company I'm familiar with. And of course, biotechnology has a lot of stocks that are in the biotech space. All right. Well, this is looking interesting. It's only a $4 stock. That would probably rule me out right away, because I typically don't like stocks that are that inexpensive. The reason why, of course, is because under $10, any movement is exacerbated due to the fact that it's such a small amount. So that's kind of first off a problem that I see. Unless you have any inside information on this, obviously I don't have that. I would be a little bit careful. The checklist is good though, and on the technicals we are basically at the 21-day line. So that if you did want to buy it here, you could. And it does have a very strong relative strength. I want to look at the stochastic indicator to see if it's being how it's trending on the buying and selling of it. And basically what I'm doing here is that this is what they call stochastic indicator. And what it means is that it shows if it's an oversold position or an overbought position. So as it moves lower, it's in the oversold position. And then as it moves higher, it's in an overbought position. So as we get closer to about 80 or 20 on the downside, that's where it's going to reverse. But it still looks like it's in an upward trend. So that, indeed, even though it did pull back today to the 50-day line, it does look like it's in an upward trend. I don't know. I would be very careful with this one, Matt, just because It's a biotech stock, and biotech stocks are story stocks. They're harder to trade, in my opinion, only because they're typically a Fed, and you've got to know kind of, you know, what stage in the trial they're in. So it's very difficult. So I really don't have a good answer for you on that, but I wouldn't personally be in the stock. This is a question coming from TikTok. Since we didn't have a hard winter, doesn't that affect oil? Yes, it does. Absolutely, it affects oil. But here's the thing. Even though there's a lot of talk about heating oil, the biggest use of oil really still is in transportation fuels. And what do I mean by that? Well, everything that you buy practically in the store is gotten to the location where you buy it from, typically on a diesel-powered vehicle. Either that be a truck or a train or a container ship. And so the price of diesel is very, very critical. So if the price of oil goes up, of course, the price of diesel goes up. And diesel has been at a high, even compared to gasoline. Now, of course, they can change the blend so to make more diesel and less gasoline. But politically, I don't think that's going to happen. So if we have higher oil prices, we'll have higher diesel prices, we'll have more inflation because transportation fuels, that's one of the major components of products that you buy at the store, is the transportation cost to get it from the manufacturer to the distributor to you. So, even though we have thankfully had a mild winter, especially in Europe, I still think that the price of diesel and the price of oil in general is a major driver, even now. So I do expect tighter oil supplies because of the fact that, you know, I do think that, with Russia in a war and some other things, I still think that, you know, it's on a knife's edge. So I do see oil prices creeping up. I think we could be easily over $95 a barrel very soon. And of course, that's going to affect a lot of the, you know, prices. That's going to exacerbate inflation. Now, on the other hand, I see a pullback in many of the big cap tech stocks, like Microsoft. I also want to show you a chart of Goldman Sachs. And the reason I do is because Goldman is starting to warn, and this is amazing. Again, I did a show about this the other day. Now, I didn't short Goldman, but I'm very much considering it. This was a few days ago. I had a show where, you know, Goldman basically said that they're going to have to write off their consumer loan lending business. I mean, they've lost about $3 billion on it, and that's amazing. I mean, since they started in 2020, so that's an awful lot to lose in the business that's supposedly so good. So here's what I'm showing on the reason that Goldman may be a good shorting candidate is because if we go over to the weekly chart, we can see. Now, you don't want to short something typically that is too far away from its 52-week moving average. Now, Goldman is down only 10% from its all-time 52-week high right here. And it is still, let's go over here to the daily chart so we can see where the 200-day line is. Oops. Go back to that 200-day line so we can see that. This is the black line is the 200-day line. There we go. Let's pull it over. There we go. So this is the 200-day line. We're still above that 200-day line. Now, typically, I like to wait until it's below the 200-day line to short it. So, you know, I'm tempted to short. I haven't shorted it here, but we're definitely starting to see people sell and bail out. What I do expect is for it to pull down to the 200-day line. If it can't hold the 200-day line, then you want, as it rallies, that's where you want to short it. This is the head, called the head pattern here. And this is the potentially the right shoulder, and this is the left shoulder right here. So we do sort of are starting to see a setup of a shorting pattern, but I wouldn't short it here because, as you can see, that we've had the 50-day line move above. We want to see that move down lower, and we want to see the price below the 200-day moving average. Let's see where the 200-day moving average is at currently. It's at 329. So if this thing pulls below 329 and rallies, that might be where we want to kind of take a look at shorting Goldman Sachs. The financial sector in general is weak. And I think you're going to see some weakness in Bank of America and probably also in some of the other banks. But right now, you know, the banking sector is pretty darn weak. All right, let's look at CRK. This is for Noah Garza, 07. Let's see, CRK. Yes, let's look at that, CRK for Noah here. CRK. Bring that up. All right, that's Comstock. Good company. This is, probably know this is primarily owned by Jerry Jones here in Dallas. He's also the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. This one, you know, again, it's so subjective on this, but I definitely am seeing some weakness with the 40-day line moving below the 200-day line, 50-day line moving below the 200-day line. That's showing some weakness. We are starting to see a movement lower. I would be careful with this one. I don't know if I'd want this one to buy this one short or long. I think with the price of this is what Comstock is really in is in the gas, and that's been all over the place. So I don't know. If I were down 5% on this one, I would sell this and wait for a better entry. I just don't think this one has a good entry here. I wouldn't short it either. Check this is 67%, and let's see what the pattern recognition says on it. Cup of handle, that's a good form, and we're about 20% above that. So I don't know. I'd be careful with this one. I probably wouldn't do anything. I would probably just watch this one. All right. What do you think about Netflix? This is tomorrow, Netflix report. So let's take a look. Netflix, you know, was very much of a high flyer, and it did recover. But I do think it's very vulnerable. I still think that Netflix is extremely vulnerable, and it is improving. I mean, it has been improving, but I don't know. I am not bullish on Netflix at all. I think it's got competition coming in every direction, and I don't particularly like the chart either. So it is above the 200-day line. That's what I can say. There was a cross. The 50-day did move above the 200-day, so that's a good sign. But it is in a slight uptrend, but I still don't like this chart that much. I think that, you know, you could just they're better fish in the ocean than this one. I don't like buying stocks that are that don't have high relative strength, and this one definitely has high relative strength, 90, so that's pretty good. So yeah, you could make an argument. I mean, with 90, I don't know. Right now, I'm soured on a lot of the big cap techs in general. So I'm dubious on it. So I would watch this one. I wouldn't buy it here. I just wouldn't buy it. I think that you're setting yourself up potentially for something, for a problem. Let's look at UNH. This is United Health. You know, this is typically tough market. You know, healthcare is typically one of the safe harbors. This is where a lot of capital goes to hide when they can't get returns elsewhere. But this one, not looking particularly good either. It's below the 200-day line. It's got a 30 relative strength. I would avoid this one. You just want to make sure that in this kind of market, that especially that's so is trending, you want to make sure that you're buying the strongest stocks that you possibly can, and that definitely, and UNH just isn't in that category. So I think you got to skip it. I think you just got to skip it. Bada boom. I'm okay with shorting. Just want to know options earning. Okay. Yeah, you know, there's two ways to short. Of course, you can buy the put. That's a great way to do it. Also, you can actually short it. Now, I like to actually short it. I actually like to borrow the shares, sell them, and hopefully it'll go down, and then I sell it back. So that's kind of what I do. You can also do another thing called a bear put spread. That's another great way to go, where you have a limit, and you can only lose so much. The problem with a buying just puts is that, you know, potentially you can lose the entire value of the put that you buy. So that's something you got to be very careful with. As well, and I'll probably do a show on shorting with puts. Then Dish, they may, okay, the vault. Yeah, I think Dish is in trouble. you know, the problem is that, you know, we're going to see, you know, with streaming, you know, we're just going to see, you know, premium content is going to come out with ads. Now, I do think that Netflix can save itself if it does a free plan, but then, you know, it loses a lot of its cachet. So it just doesn't look good for that. Yeah, Dish is not one that I would want to be in. If you can see, this is really, really, really bad. It's $14 share right now. And if we go over here, let's see how much it's lost in the last year. I think that's really kind of how you have to gauge it. This one has lost 61% of its value in a year. So that's not looking good. It's also in a downward trend. You know, wow, I just, if I lost more than 7% of this one, sell it, because you want to preserve your capital. I think this one, you know, people will say, well, it's $14. It can't go any lower. Believe me, it can go lower. All you have to do is look at Carvana to see that. So, yeah, it can go lower. So be careful here. Be careful. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Hopefully tomorrow is going to be an update. Today was not so much. We definitely had a situation today where I thought I was going to do better than I did. This is looking at Dish Network here. As you can see, this is just a terrible chart. You know, one thing I never try to do is you don't want to try to buy them off the bottom, because, you know, it's so difficult to figure out where it is. Now, when you're shorting, you typically want to short something that's lost only about 30% of its value. Why? Because, well, it can go down more, but, you know, you're only going to make that as much as it can go down. So, like, if it's a $100 stock and it's now at 70, you can make 70 on that stock, but it has to go all the way to zero. So do be careful with shorting, but you always, when you short a stock, you want to typically have a more expensive stock or a stock that has less of its sort of less of it. This has more left to short on it. So that's why I don't like the short stocks where 90% of the value is gone. You know, 90% of the 52 week value is gone. I don't like to short those, because, you know, it's a lot of risk for not necessarily a whole lot of return. So that's just my take on that. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, everybody. Thank you for following me. By the way, let's see. I'm just looking to see. Oil. Yeah, oil is in a bull market. Yeah, it is. Well, here's the thing about oil. You know, it's one of those things where just about everything uses oil. And I want to kind of compare again. I want to show you this comparison, because I think it's very telling. I mean, I think it's very telling. Let's take a look at Tesla, TSLA. And this arguably is the future of cars. And I did in 2020, I did very, very well in the stock. I got a tremendous increase in this. This is Tesla's chart, and I'm going to compare it against ExxonMobil over the past year. Hopefully you can see this. Let me see if I can. Let's see if I can make that work. All right, I'm going to go over to the comparison chart here for ExxonMobil versus Tesla. And the reason I want to show you this is because this tells the tale. You know, this tells the tale of what's kind of going on. If we look at this chart, and I don't know if you can see the green kind of, it shows a really bad color for, it shows a really bad color for the comparison. Let's go up here. Here we go. So here's the chart. I'm going to dial it back just to the first, you know, just the last 30 days, unless the last 90 days, because I think that, you know, comparing a year, you know, that's not the best thing. This is just in the last, basically, this is just in the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. You can see the divergence here. Tesla has, you know, arguably a great company, moved straight down. You know, if 5 months ago, if you'd put a dollar into Tesla, you would have a little more than 47 cents right now. If you put the same money in ExxonMobil, you'd have $1.20. So it's clear that the price of oil, you know, oil is not dead based on this. I mean, oil is not dead. Oil is making a comeback, And so that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to concentrate many of my buys sort of in that oil sector. Now, I do have several stocks. Now, hopefully I'm right on this because, you know, it's very easy to be, you know, it's easy to be right, but at the wrong time. And that, believe me, has happened to me a zillion times. But what I want to compare here is I want to compare an oil service stock, which I own, this is Schlumberger SLB, with an integrated oil. And get that XOM. There we go. And that's Tesla XOM. And then let's see if I can put another one in there. And that would be Hess. This is what I think is setting up nicely. Yeah, Hess. This is what I'm it's setting up. And I think that you might want to look at this stock here. I'm not saying that to buy it, but I like the stock a lot. I'm charting Tesla here. I'm charting Tesla, which is the one that's going down. The yellow line, which you really can't see here, is Schlumberger. So that's the oil service company. And then there's Hess, which is actually outperforming. That's one I think that you might want to, if you want to go long on a stock, that's one that you might want to put on your watch list. It's HES is the symbol. And it is it's set up very nicely right now. See if we can. Yeah. It's pulled back a little bit today, but 149 is sort of the cup. You can see that it's pulled back to that level. It's at 150. This is probably going to move higher. It's got a 95 relative strength. It does have earnings in 7 days. This is a little bit of a issue. So if you did buy this, you probably want to sell it before earnings in 7 days. But this one is getting ready to move. If we have an up day, this one will work very well. This has got 100% checklist. And on the technicals, I want to show you this on the pattern rec. This one is set up very nice. It's off of a flat base, and basically it's 1% above the pivot. So it's almost at the pivot. And we've got an upward trend on the relative strength. So this is getting stronger against the market. It's in the right sector. Let's take a look at the sector so you can show you that. This sector is the international exploration E&P, 35 out of 197. So it's definitely one of the top sectors in the market currently. So this is one I really like. It's called Hess, H-E-S is the symbol. And I do think it's viable. I do think it's actionable, even though I kind of got my hat handed to me, even though I kind of got my hat handed to me for the, you know, on my ExxonMobil buy. I probably went too heavy on ExxonMobil, probably didn't diversify enough, but this is the one I'm probably going to sell some of the Exxon. I'm going to probably be buying Hess. I like Hess right now. I like the fact that it's an upward trend. I definitely think we're going to get a higher oil price. I mean, I just think that's going to likely, not that I want it, but I think that's going to be the case. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for taking a look at the show today. So appreciate it. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow at 5. You know, if you're not already on that action trailer, it's super easy to do. Please smash the like button. And that really helps us a lot. You know, smashing that like button and subscribing helps a lot. So please smash the like button, and I'll be back tomorrow. If you want to get on the action trailer, just go to www.dallastradingfloor.com. Happy trading.